quarter past nine. Sports Radio, Craig Williams back in town. He's off to sail today. He's got a big day there after that premiership, and he's still probably getting a little bit of jet lag after coming back from England as well. Morning, Craig. How are you?
Morning, Sean. How are you?
Good. How have you pulled up?
I'm in the back of the car getting driven down to sail, and I think that's a good idea. When I get off the phone to you, I'm going to have another kipper.
So. You're going to have another little snooze. Put the feet up there and away you go.
Yeah.
Brazen Bow, terrific run at Royal Ascot.
Oh, delighted with his performance. It was a fantastic build-up, and a lot of planning and preparation went into him, and I thought, you know, all but it was. It was really disappointing because he just covered so many bases and he's in such great form, and he ran so well and got beaten by an American horse, which Frankie said to me, if I was on your side, and I would have beaten you easier, so I wasn't too happy about that. But it was, nevertheless, we got beaten by a really good horse in the day who had the right barrier draw.
Craig, I said to Chris Waller the other day, we almost have an expectation now when we go over there that we're going to win.
Well, that's right, and there's no doubt that Brazen Bow was carrying the hopes of a nation on his back. After all week, we had a couple of runners over there, and he was our best chance, and still all but was able to do it. He is also, when you go back through our history of our horse that we sent abroad, he is actually the youngest horse that we sent. So usually we send our sprinters over there. They've been a lot older and a lot more seasoned, so he's done a fantastic job. But a lot of that gets put down to the preparation and also the horse that he is. He's just got one of those great attitudes which made him be as competitive as what he is for what he's done.
Now, Craig, where you came down, that section of the track, the following race, the winner came down there.
Yes, that's right. Well, I was really confident in that part of the ground, and we were a bit worried about there wasn't much pressure in the race on paper, and the leading horse was drawn the opposite side to us, and we were hoping that Aidan O'Brien's horse might have had pace next near us and been able to lead us up, but we're the second fastest horse out, and the only quick other horse out with us went 20 yards, and it gets ridden from behind. So I thought if I went a little bit to where the ground that I was comfortable in, I hope that since I was leading up that they might follow me over and he might have had some company, but as it turned out, we didn't. But I was happy with the ground I was in, there's no doubt.
There was never a thought to go across to the main bunch that you thought, no, I'm committed, I'll stay here?
Well, we already started to lead up, and yeah, we were so far away from the pace, so it felt like one of those things, because he's going on a really tough 6 furlong track, the straight didn't bother me because his preparation had been that he'd been working on, he's only been isolated, and he'd been working on uphill even before he went. They knew what he was going to encounter when he was in England, and they started working him at home in Australia on an undulated track. So I was hoping to be able to drag a couple of others out there. And then when we were on our own, well, he'd done a lot of preparation, and we actually put that into one of the scenarios. I just felt a couple of times throughout the race that he just did get a little bit lost on his own. But nevertheless, I guess if he gets anywhere else and you get too competitive and you don't get home, there's arguments there. If you don't get cover and you're beside horses and you're over a race on an undulated course, you don't make it home either. But under the circumstances, I couldn't be more proud of Brazen Bow's run. And look, he relaxed really well. And when I asked him to quicken, he quickened really well. But the American horse was just unbelievable on the day and had an absolutely pitch-perfect run.
Now, a few people said, oh, the American horse only ran fourth in America, but apparently conditions didn't suit it that day, so it wasn't flattered.
Yeah, I said to Frankie, I would have loved to have been drawn next to you, Frankie, because I reckon I beat you. And he goes, Craig, if I follow you, I would have beaten you easier. You did the right thing from your barrier draw to beat me. He said, my horse is a really good horse. He's also a five-year-old. He's also travelled to England, and because he ran only fourth over there, people didn't, they dismissed him. He said, but he did run on unsuitable ground condition, and the horse is flying. So he said he got beaten by a better horse today. That's what Frankie's call was.
Now, Craig, from your own point of view, how good is and how good, if he'd raced on, could Brazen Bow have been?
He's best sprint in Australia, and I thought that if he raced on at the end of this year and even next year, they could target anything, whether it be Dubai, Hong Kong, all the big races in Australia, and he'd be the one they'd have to beat.
So you'd rank him as being basically as good as the best in the world?
Definitely, especially after having this trip. And he is a three-year-old, so even though we can argue he's nearly four, but on weight for age standard here in Australia, those horses will be giving weight. He carried the same weight as all those other horses. So he's done a fantastic job. First trip abroad, amazing effort. He's able to do it because he's got such a great constitution, a great attitude, and he put a lot of thought into Ascot a long way out. And I think that paid big dividends, especially for the end result on Saturday.
He just seems the complete package, the horse, doesn't he?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to be the complete retired package, though. So I guess if you've got a mare, you'd be delighted to go there. But for a racing fixture, after having that experience of going abroad, just toughening you up mentally, and he could have been anything next year, that's for sure, or next season.
Now, Craig, you said you come back to Earth, you're back home, you're in the back of the car getting driven to Sale today, but with a purpose. You've got a good book of rides down there, and you want to win this premiership.
That's right, Sean. Now, I've got 11 meetings to go, and it's a really tough race. Dwayne Dunn had three on an amazing Saturday, and he's got one clear of myself and Damien, and I've got five rides down here, so every meeting's really important, and every race is important for the run to the championship.
Well, I can tell you, up here in Sydney, the interest in the premiership is huge. People are betting on it to see who's going to win. And what's your book like today?
I've got two really strong rides for the leading train, Darren Weir's horses, so hopefully they can salute. But this time of year, my manager, Mark Guest, will say that anything's possible in these winter months with horses and the track conditions and everything else. So you've got to go out confident of every horse that you have, which you do every time, and hope luck falls your way.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. There was a 12-year-old won at 50-1 yesterday.
There you go. I don't know if Mark is that good a judge, but anyway.
Never mind. All right, couple of good chances today. Mate, we wish you well. Congratulations. Great effort in England at Royal Ascot. It must just be an almighty thrill going over there. And I know Melbourne Cup time, Golden Slipper time here in Australia, it's wonderful. But every carnival, I suppose, has its attractions.
That's right. I'm lucky enough to be invited and partnering a horse and representing Australia. There's nothing more prestigious than to being at that glorious meeting at Ascot. And just the way the procession works with the Queen's Majesty, how she comes to the races, and it's just so unique. But again, it's what's very fulfilling being Australian now is the fact that when staying horses are winning or running well, first thing they get off when they get interviewed is they're talking about the Melbourne Cup or our carnival, and even now with the championships in Sydney being a focus with so many internationals, I think it's fantastic for Australian racing. It just shows you that Australian racing now is on the thoughts and minds of a lot of race growers and participants all around the world.
They must celebrate at our prize money, Craig.
That's one thing that you notice when you are in England. It's all right to see Royal Ascot and see how it is and everything else, but day-to-day grind of England and the prize money, we are very fortunate. Let's hope that things are put into place and that continues to be that way. And there's no doubt that's the reason why people are talking about our racing over here, because it's very lucrative.
All right. Well, I'll let you go back to sleep now. You're not off to sleep quickly?
No, I'll listen to some music first. Well, I have to listen to some soothing soothing songs. I'm not too sure what they're going to be.
All right. No akka-dakka. All right, that'll keep you awake.
Yeah, that's right. And when I get the race course, akka-dakka will be good.
All right, that'll fire you up. Good on you, Craig. Good luck today at Sale.
Thanks, Sean. Cheers.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Williams there, back after riding Brazen Bow in the Jubilee Stakes there, the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot. He's put a big rap on the horse, saying potentially next year could have been the best in the world. And he said that to me off here the other day as well. Just said, when you consider he's only a 3-year-old racing against 4- and 5-year-olds over there, and he's done an almighty job, the horse, to do what he's done, considering in the past when we've sent our sprinters over, they've been a bit older than Brazen Bow has been. Nick Mitchell joins you now. He's got a couple of nice runners today at Canterbury as well, and he's got another one who went nicely the other day at Newcastle. And morning, Nick, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sean. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. You must be pretty happy with that horse the other day, Dream Lane at Newcastle.
Yeah, she ran a big race, ran a huge race, yeah, and she's still green too, and she ended up in front, and she just got run over close home. She's having a bit of a look around, so, yeah, very happy with her.
Only lightly raced?
Yeah, that was her first start yesterday. So she'll come on heaps for that.
So she's going to learn a lot from it, isn't she?
Yeah, definitely. Right. She'll be all right.
All right, well, that's encouraging. Today, in the fourth there, you've got Kapuka. That was a last-start winner for you as well. Got the money.
Yeah, Tommy Berry rode a peach at Kembla on a heavy 10. It was only last week, so she's on the back up. But a filly in form, she's pulled up really well from that race, and she's got the wet track again today. So obviously it's a big step up in class. But, you know, she's earned her right to be there, and we'll see what we've got.
It's a bonus, and I noticed in her form, she's gone all right in the heavy before as well. Nick, that's a real bonus, isn't it?
No, definitely. Definitely. She loves the wet. She gets through it really well. So, and she'll definitely run the trip. There's a few in the race, they're nice horses, but a few of them are unproven at the distance, but we'll get through the ground, we'll get the trip. So, and the horse is really well, so we're hopeful of a good run today.
Alrighty, now you've got Radical Impact in race six, and it's raced on the soft at four starts, a win in 2 seconds. He can handle the wet as well.
He can get through the wet, yeah. It was a soft seven last night, but I think it was a really, really soft seven, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Look, if he gets a bit of luck, he's got to be thereabouts again. He must be due some luck.
Well, just looking at his form, the last two runs at Canterbury, you've been beating the lip.
Yeah. He hit the front too soon last time. And Thomas did really, really well to keep him in front all the way up the straight, never mind keep him straight. And he was just unfortunate that he lost it in the stewards' run.
Unbelievable. Now, you've drawn barrier 17 out in the bleachers there today. I mean, with the scratchings, you'll probably come in a bit. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage today, being drawn out, do you think, by race six?
I don't think it's going to be a huge disadvantage for this particular horse.
Mm.
He doesn't particularly like getting crowded up, and I'd rather be drawn wide than drawn low.
Yep.
I was hoping to kind of barrier 6 or 7 instead of 17, but yeah, that's the hand you're dealt, and we've got to play it as best we can.
It's called adapt or perish, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Nick, wish you luck. How many have you got in work?
I've got about 15 now,
yeah.
And a few out in the paddock and a couple of yearlings, so yeah, things are ticking along nicely.
Beautiful.
I haven't got too many owners, but the owners we've got are really good. So, yeah, things are going well.
Well, that's cool. Well, look, good luck today. Let's hope there's a couple of checks come home and the big part of the prize for you today.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you, Sean.
Good on you, Nick. Good luck. Nick Mitchell joining us there at 20.